We don't manufacture this filling. Ultimately, it must happen to us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now we seek Him. We're going to hear, we ask this of Him, but we can't produce this filling, this power within us. It must come upon. He must come upon us. So it's a command is plural. The verb is passive. Fourthly, the command is continuous.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. Hey, here's a question for you today as we begin. From God's Word, we recognize that as believers, as followers of Jesus, we have all of the Holy Spirit. But here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit have all of us? We're glad to have you here today as we continue on in our series looking at the Holy Spirit. And today's teaching answers the question, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? A convicting message for sure, but an encouraging word also. Let's join with Pastor Robbie in Ephesians 5 with today's message.
So when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the context, notice, the urgency of the context leads secondly to this. It leads to the command. And I must receive the command, which is continuously. I want you to focus first on the phrase, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Number one, loved ones, it is a command. We said that a lot. It's a command. It's an imperative in the original, meaning it's not an option for believers. It's expected, it's commanded of us. So the Holy Spirit is to be sought with passion. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. So it's a command. Secondly, it's plural. But be filled is plural, meaning it applies to all believers of all time. So it's not like someone over here receives this command and someone over here says, no, I don't really feel like receiving that command. You don't have an option. It's plural, all believers, all time. This statement for us today is as true for us today as it was in the first century, again, to the believers in Ephesus. It's plural. Thirdly, this verb is passive. Why is that important? This is important because we don't manufacture this filling. Ultimately, it must happen to us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, we seek Him. We're going to hear, we ask this of Him, but we can't produce this filling, this power within us. It must come upon. He must come upon us. So it's a command is plural. The verb is passive. Fourthly, the command is continuous. So literally, but be filled is be being filled or be constantly being filled. Not a one-time act. This is a daily pursuit of the hunger and the expectation that we need the presence and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives every day if we are going to see fruitfulness and effectiveness for Him. More on that in a moment. But before we go any further, I'm excited to stop here just for a moment and make sure that we're very clear, as some of us will be trying to understand or ask, or maybe been taught in some way in the past or never been taught at all, when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, what is the difference between the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, we believe that the Bible clearly teaches, and we've seen this all throughout this series on the Holy Spirit, that at regeneration, this has been mentioned already in this message briefly, that at regeneration, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the fullness. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He enters into us. We become His temple. We are born again. We are new creations. We're never going to lose the Holy Spirit as His person within us. He stays with us as our seal, all for glory. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Your Bible should be open to that. And if you look over what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, look at just verse 4. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, those one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, there's some debate over what baptism refers to here. Is it water baptism? But there's a strong, strong case to be made. This is referring to the time when we are joined into the body of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at conversion. All the questions are erased as I quote for you 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Listen carefully. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. At conversion, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Warren Wiersbe says this, nowhere in the New Testament are we commanded to be baptized by the Spirit. Why? Because this is a once-for-all experience that takes place at conversion. Good insight. But notice, but we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what we hold here passionately at Harvest Oakville, and I'm trusting it's the same for Harvest Brampton, sort of, maybe, we'll see. He gives me a thumbs up, okay? What we hold passionately here at Harvest Oakville is this truth. This is a great phrase. You've heard it. Hear it again. One baptism, many fillings. Amen? One baptism of the Holy Spirit, regeneration, conversion, but many fillings throughout the Christian life. And what this wonderfully incorporates is our big idea for this message. We have all of the Holy Spirit, regeneration, but does the Holy Spirit have all of us? One baptism, many fillings. We are to seek, again, the many fillings of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the early church, baptism, they receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Subsequently, they are filled by the Holy Spirit, Acts 4. The Apostle Paul, Acts 9, he is saved. The Holy Spirit comes and enters into him. But later on in Acts 13, there's a filling of the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God with boldness, to see the fruit and the evidence of this life upon him again. One baptism, many fillings, really describes my entire life. Man, when you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you want more and more and more of him, because nothing else will suffice at the end of the day. Many fillings and empowerment for the word, the Holy Spirit of God to work within our lives. And of course, that is precisely what Ephesians 5:18 is dealing with. But be filled with the Spirit. Let's get a little deeper now. What does that mean? The best understanding of this phrase, ready, is that we are to live under complete control of the Holy Spirit. To be filled, it can be described as fill your cup to the brim, to cause to abound, to take possession of. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit comes and totally saturates us, and we are filled with him, and our thoughts and our words and our actions become in line intimately with what he would have for us. I was very intrigued in my study of this phrase, be filled, both this week and in time past as well, actually, that the term be filled was used in the Greek. It could carry three shades of meaning. One of the meanings of this word, be filled, was used to describe the wind filling the sails of a ship, causing it to move across the water. So just picture that, the Spirit-filled life. I set my sails, and then I anticipate the power, the wind of God to fill the sails and then propel me across the water. Many years ago, I learned to windsurf. And I remember, what's so funny? I learned to windsurf, and I remember getting up on the board, and it was pretty shaky at first, but I remember getting the sail up, and you kind of got it in position and in the right place and where the wind was going to come, and then all of a sudden it catches the wind, and you start to go, and after you get a little bit and learn to kind of get your position, and all of a sudden when you start getting a little bit better, and the wind fills the sail, and you start skipping and flying across the water, and I remember at that time, like for the first time doing this sport in this way, and I was flying across the waves and holding on, and I remember it was a rush within me, and I said out loud, I said, powered by God. I kid you not, I said that because I loved it, you know. There I am just in the power of God and running along the water. That's the Spirit-filled life, man. Setting your sails and catching the power and the wind of God, and it's carrying you along this life. Not our effort, but the effort of the Lord. So few believers will truly understand what it means to get it in place and boom, what you can. And this is what the Lord wants to do with this message right now. Help us to understand how much could happen. The second meaning of this word fulfilled was this. It was describing salt permeating meat. Now, salt permeates meat for two main reasons: to flavor it and preserve it. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit filling us as we become the aroma of Christ, the flavor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, who will guarantee that we will carry on. So, loved ones, we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It permeates us and presents a flavor from us that people are picking up in this world. I remember after one of our kids were born, my wife Jill, she actually contracted a very serious infection, and she was put in the hospital for several weeks. And while she was there, she was under, of course, the care of the staff in the hospital. And I remember walking to the hospital one day and catching a conversation of the nurses that they were talking about my wife Jill. And of course, I love her very much and I'm very thankful for her, but I heard them talking about the woman, let's say in room 301, whatever it is. Woman in 301, man, she just has this light. We just love to serve her. I said, "Will you tell me more about this woman in 301? Let me hear a little more. What do you say? And they went on just describing she's different. There's just something about her, whatever. And then I remember this one nurse, she says, "Well, she has like an aura about her." And we walked in, we had the chance even just with this nurse to say, "Listen, I love my wife so much. She's a gift, yes. But saying, listen, at the end of the day, it's not her. It's the Holy Spirit." And she was here right now and she'll be here tomorrow. She'd say, "Amen, amen." Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. We got to share this with the nurse, but to understand as you are there, you're just living your life. And isn't it something too, when you're in those situations and you get really at your weakest and you're seeking, you know, in that kind of physical sickness, you really find out kind of what's really going on in many cases, right? You know, so many of you in our church, there's situations right now happening right now, and you are incredibly beautiful testimonies of the Holy Spirit. I know it. I hear about it almost on a weekly basis. And you are giving off a flavor of the, and it's one of those things you don't even know what's happening, but it is, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Setting sails, salt permeating with flavor and preservation. And the third meaning, looking into this, was it conveys domination or control. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are most importantly allowing him to have complete control. So this is why, look right here. Surrender is everything in the Christian life. Because as we surrender to the will of God, to the Holy Spirit, we raise the white flag. And as we raise the white flag, and there are some here right now, that's never fully happened in your life. I always say it's amazing to me. Well, it's men and women, but it's men and women. The people who refuse to truly lay it down before the Lord and really say, "I give up." The single greatest turning points for anyone who's ever been used of the Lord Jesus Christ has been at the moment where they finally raise the white flag and say, "I give up. I cannot do it. You must do it. You must do it." And so often it's accompanied with a posture where they fall on their face and they shed tears and they go down to their knees because they don't know what else to do. "I give up. I've tried it my way. It's not working. I surrender. My pride has overcome me. I am putting myself in the ditch. I can no longer do this. I give up." And at that moment, God comes up and boom, fills the person and the water rushes in. Notice, water always goes to the lowest places. And the living water of Jesus Christ fills the person who surrendered to the control. Now, is it scary? Yeah. But it's so beautiful. And it's where life is lived. All of life is, and you know what? Even as I say that, just a moment of pastoral honesty and integrity, like the Lord's bringing me there, even right now. Lord, I need you so much. And he lets us stumble and fall, doesn't he? He's like, "What are you going to do now? Are you going to make another excuse? Are you going to fight for your own strength? Or are you going to finally give up and let me do what only I can do?" This is where life is lived. But notice, before the Holy Spirit's really a battle for control. Because look at the first half of verse 18 now. Notice. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Now, isn't the Holy Spirit so genius here? Talking about control and influence, and now he goes from the negative to the positive. We're going from the positive to the negative, but notice here, to be drunk with wine, of course, is to be under control of alcohol. And interestingly here, drunkenness will always lead to a lack of clarity, lack of wisdom, and a lack of urgency for anything fruitful. It's always the flesh versus the spirit last week. Flesh versus the spirit. It's this battle. And the alcohol all filled with flesh. And the Holy Spirit all filled with the Spirit of God. You know, it comes to drunkenness or drinking. John Tapp, I mean, he wrote this. He called it the three outs. Here's drinking or drunkenness. Ready? It's ale out of the bottle, money out of the wallet, and wit out of the head. That's what drunkenness results in. It's you consume out of the bottle, you lose out of your wallet, and you forfeit intelligence out of your head. You know what's so interesting? This week I heard Alan Moeller was talking about the studies on marijuana currently right now. It's coming back and it's being proven that marijuana is actually something that's resulting in a decreasing of IQ, especially for those who are in developmental stages, adolescents, young men and women, especially, of course, others as well, but it's creating damage to their brain and their ability to think and pay attention, and all this is happening. Should we be surprised? Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Behind the word debauchery, waste, wastefulness, devoid of virtue, out of control, recklessness. Do not be drunk with wine. That's a total waste of your life. What are you saying? But be filled with the Spirit. Know what we're learning here? All that leads really to this. Ready? Here's a good phrase to remember. What fills you controls you. What fills you controls you. Question, what's filling you? What's filling you? Because whatever fills you will eventually control you. No wonder then. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what we're learning here too? Again, be filled, be filled, be constantly being filled. We're learning this. This is so important. Today's filling will not do for tomorrow. You see that? Daily fight, daily battle. Remember, looking to Jesus is the hardest part of the Christian faith on a daily basis. The hardest part of living the Christian life is every day I got to wake up and fight the battle again. That in itself is exhausting. Who agrees with me? That is, I mean, I admit to you, man, I am exhausted by the battle of flesh versus spirit. Some days I'm just, I can't keep doing it. I can't. It's too hard. It's too troubling. It's too tormenting. But that's the point, isn't it? I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit in me is the one who wants to fight the battle for me. And this is what we're learning here right now. You want to clap for that? Amen. I'm glad for that. It's the exhaustion that leads us to the dependence that leads us to the strengthening. And some of you now, I think everyone should be asking, okay, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, how though? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit of God on the screen? This is not a religious formula, okay? This is not. This is a relational strengthening of you, me, and the Holy Spirit who resides within us. This is not put these five things in, calculate them together, and up pops, filled with the Spirit. This is relationship, but here's biblical understanding of how, this will be online if you want to look at it later, okay? You don't try to get, you want to write down, you can, but I want you to listen to, okay? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Confess all known sin. Why? Because the single greatest obstacle to the power of God in our lives is when we quench Him or grieve Him. And that is done almost entirely by the sin within us. Did you notice last week in Galatians 5, all the relational sins, all this commenting on the strife we have with one another, jealousy and envy. Some of us are here right now, man. Our lives are centered on jealousy, envy, strife, division, dissensions, competition. All of that grieves and quenches the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? Sometimes we need to wake up and just smell the theology. And what the theology says to us right now is don't be surprised if our lives are filled with relational tension all over the place. Well, that's obviously going to limit His voice and His power through our lives. You got to confess that sin, man, right now. What wrongs need to be made right? Notice in our text today, the idolatrous sins. Do not be drunk with wine. You fill your life with things like that. Of course, you won't be sensing the power and the filling. Confess all known sin. This is a daily battle. Yield every area of your life. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. This is, Lord, here's my life. Yield to him every area, home, job, finances, direction, future, children, stress, worry, anxiety. Everything has to be put at his feet and say, God, I yield, I yield, I yield. Ask, our text today, ask, and you can also anticipate. And 1 John 5 is a great one for that too. We ask for the things and then believing that we receive if we ask according to his will. 1 John 5, 14, 15. Give thanks. So we confess, yield, ask. We give thanks for his promised provision. And this is his will. Then God, you know, it's so neat. When you're praying God's will, you know you're praying God's will. It shouldn't increase your faith. Lord, this is your will for my life. So your will be done. Your will be done. And then expect great things. Now, I have Ephesians 5, 19 and 21. That's part of our passage. This is an excellent lead into our final point, okay? So when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I must know the context. I must receive the command. And thirdly, I must anticipate the confirmation, which is what? Fruit. The confirmation of this is fruit. I don't have a ton of time, but I do want us to look at this somewhat carefully now. Look at verse 19, okay? So what happens now is Paul commands us to be filled with the Spirit, but now he says, here are evidences that I am. Here are indicators that I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your, next word, heart. Oh yeah, the heart again, because the heart is everything. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Giving thanks always, verse 20, for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. How do I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Three signs. The first one is this, joy. I am joyful. I am joyful. Verse 19 is explaining to be filled with the Spirit is to communicate to others the joy of our salvation, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are speaking truth. We are declaring the gospel. We are expressing the joy of our salvation. When you're filled with the Spirit, you love to do that. Notice a large part of our joy in verse 19 also is through singing. I love that. You know I love that if you know me. The idea that our church gathered as a people would be filled with the Spirit of God and sing. And who cares if our voice is always on tune or not? But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's a joy, there's a sing. How many people sing in their cars? How many? The rest of you need to do it. It's fun. How many of you might sing at home? How many of you dance with your kids in Christian worship? How many of you are there and you're there and you're just filling your life with the joy? And how many of you, and if you're like me, as you are worshiping and you give yourself to the Lord and the Spirit of God, how many times have I stared out to our backyard and just by myself and just tears running down my face and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ and so overwhelmed by him? And this is where my kids often look around just like, Dad, you're just strange, man. You're strange, but it's okay, right? You can't help it. Your hands are raised and you worship the Lord because you're so overwhelmed. That is the presence and the person, the power of the Holy Spirit, igniting the expression of what's within in the gift of music and song. It's a gift. And I get to sit in the front row and I have the volume of people singing behind me. It's a joy. It's the way it's supposed to be. And I particularly was blessed sitting by Pastor Ted today. He sings loud. I love it. I love it. It was a blessing, man. It was. You're there with brothers and sisters and you're together and sensing the Spirit of God through song. You think singing is a big deal to God? Yes, it is a big deal to God because it's one of the best ways we express to him how much we love him and are thankful and what the Holy Spirit loves to fill a church of singing, song of worship and That's why we focus on that here at our church, because it's so biblical and it's so right. And we believe there'll be a lot of that happening in heaven. How do I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? I am joyful. Secondly, I'm thankful. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. What a verse. Giving thanks always and for everything. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Because it is. This is what the Holy Spirit leads us and fills us with gratitude. You know, one of the things we say around here at Harvest Oakville, a whole bunch, is we say, you got to try really hard to be grateful and grumpy at the same time. Like, it's really hard to do, if not impossible. You got to work at it, you know? You really got to try to keep that face in that place of complaining and grumpiness, and at the same time, feel some joy and whatever, you know? But isn't it something that as you're filled with gratitude, and what a discipline it is, choose gratitude, the attitude of gratitude, and you walk around and you choose to name the blessings of your life. And you start with the gospel because that's the most powerful one of all. And as you begin to recite this over your heart and your mind begins renewed with the truth of the gospel, and all of a sudden the grumpiness seems to lift. It's just like the anxiety seems to kind of move to the side. We always say today's another great day. Why? The gospel. And so gratitude is a sweet eliminator of grumpiness. And that is a discipline. But that's also, we're filled with the Spirit of God. Wow, it rushes upon us, and all we are there, filled with joy, filled with gratitude. Notice, thirdly, we'll end here, I am submissive. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I am submissive, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What a powerful sign of being Spirit-filled, often overlooked. What is this? Humility, modesty of demeanor, unwillingness to dispute for the sake of disputing, gentleness, patience, putting others first. If you are self-assertive, overly self-assertive, that's anti-Holy Spirit. If you are self-seeking, selfish ambition, anti-Holy Spirit. Hey, you show me a home filled with the Holy Spirit and you will show me a home of beautiful submission. It is no mistake that the instructions for the family and marriage come right after this text right here. No accident. Because a home filled with the Spirit of God is a home that will see a beautiful, God-designed, Holy Spirit-filled submission to one another, where joy and peace and love are expressed. You show me a church filled with the Holy Spirit, and same thing, you will show me a church of beautiful submission. Submission to one another, submission to leaders and elders, submission to the will of God. Notice how and why. Look at verse 21. Notice, out of reverence for Christ. Ah, there it is. The Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord always are together. Always. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with a reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Holy Spirit loves to do. So, when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the context is urgency, the command is continuous, and the confirmation is fruit. As a true believer in Jesus Christ, I have all of the Holy Spirit. But does the Holy Spirit have all of me?
Have you been challenged or encouraged recently by something that you've heard on this program? This is your opportunity to step forward and give so someone else can be encouraged like you have been. You can give to Live in the Light online at liveinthelight.ca or by calling us at 844-225-4448. Or you can contact us by mail. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, L6L6X9. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening to us today. Join us again next time on Live in the Light.